Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, Supreme Lord is equal to everyone, text number 33. Matri Swari Swareyo Vaschaidyo. Dandavakrascha Pandava. Parshada Pravaro Vishnur. Vipra Shatpat Pada Chutao. Matri Swariya. Swariya. Swashreya. The son of mother's son, sister, Shushupal. Vaha Yor Chaidya King Shushupal Dandavakra Dandavakra Cha. Actually, Danta means teeth, doesn't it? And Vakra means crooked. It means he had crooked teeth. Is that true? He actually had crooked teeth. What? Pandava. O Pandava. Parshada. Pravaro. Two exalted attendants. Vishnu. Of Vishnu. Vipra. By Brahmanas. Shatpat. Because of a curse. Pada, from their position in Vaikuntha. Chutao, fallen. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni continued, O best of the Pandavas, your two cousins, Shishupala and Dantavakra, the sons of your maternal aunt, were formerly associates of Lord Vishnu, but because they were cursed by Brahmanas, they fell from Vaikuntha to this material world. Purport, Shishupala and Dantavakra were not ordinary demons, but were formerly personal associates of Lord Vishnu. They apparently fell to this material world, but actually they came to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead by nourishing His pastimes within this world. Text 34. Marjudasira inquired, what kind of great curse could affect even liberated Vishnu Bhaktas? And what sort of persons could curse even the Lord's associates? For unflinching devotees of the Lord to fall again to this material world is impossible. I cannot believe it. One of those arguments. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.16, the Lord clearly states, Mamupetya tukonteya punar janma navidite. One who is purified of material contamination and returns home back to Godhead does not return to this material world. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvadaha tyaksvadeham punar janma naiti mamiti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Arjuna, therefore, was surprised that a pure devotee could return to this material world. This is certainly a very important question. So, text 35. The bodies of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are completely spiritual, having nothing to do with the material body, senses, or life air. Therefore, kindly explain how associates of the personality of Godhead were cursed to descend in material bodies like ordinary persons. Purport. This very significant question would be difficult for an ordinary person to answer. But Narada Muni, being an authority, could answer it. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired from him, saying, Etad akyatum arhasi. Only you can explain the reason. From authoritative sources, it can be discerned that the associates of Lord Vishnu who descend from Vaikuntha do not actually fall. They come with the purpose of fulfilling the desires of the Lord, and their descent to this material world is comparable to that of the Lord. The Lord comes to this material world through the agency of his internal potency. Similarly, when a devotee or associate of the Lord descends to this material world, he does so through the action of the spiritual energy. Any pastime conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an arrangement by Yogamaya, not Mahamaya. Therefore, it is to be understood that when Jayan Vijaya descended to this material world, they came because there was something to be done for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it is a fact that no one falls from Vaikuntha. Of course, the living entity who desires the Yuja Mukti remains in Krishna's Brahman effulgence, which is dependent on Krishna's body, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Such an impersonalist who takes shelter of the Brahman effulgent must surely fall down. This is stated in the Shastras, Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Yanye rabindakshavi muktamaninas twadyasta bhava rabashuri buddhaya aruya krishchena param padam tata patandiyadao nadrita yad patandiyado nadrita yushmarangraha. O Lord, the intelligence of those who think themselves liberated but who have no deep devotion is impure. Even though they rise to the highest position of liberation by dint of severe penances and austerities, they are sure to fall down again into material existence. They do not take shelter of your lotus feet. The impersonalists cannot reach the Vaikuntha planets, become associates of the Lord, and therefore, according to their desires, Krishna gives them Sayuja Mukti. However, since Sayuja Mukti is partial mukti, they must fall again to this material world. When it is said that the individual soul falls from Brahma Loka, this applies to the impersonalist. From the authoritative sources, it is learned that Jaya and Vijaya were sent to this material world to fulfill the Lord's desire to fight. The Lord also sometimes wants to fight, but who can fight with the Lord but a very confidential devotee of the Lord? Jaya and Vijaya descended to this material world to fulfill the Lord's desire. Therefore, in each of their three verses, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, second of Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and the third of Shishupal and Dantavakra, the Lord personally killed them. In other words, these associates of the Lord, Jaya and Vijaya, descended to the material world to serve the Lord by fulfilling his desire to fight. Otherwise, as Mara Yudhisthira says, Ashadeya Ivabati, the statement that a servant of the Lord could fall from Vaikuntha seems unbelievable. How Jaya Vijaya came to this material world is explained by Narada Muni as follows. This is supposedly one of the perpetual questions. Where did the jiva come from? And here it mentions that souls don't fall out of Vaikuntha. But in the previous purport, Prabhupada said, when they go to Vaikuntha, they never return to the material world. So if you're going to return from someplace, it means that you have to be there before. And so once going there, you never come back. So it doesn't, at least Prabhupada's translation, don't completely reveal the full picture of Prabhupada's thoughts on this matter. Because if he says that the residents of Vaikuntha never return to the material world again, that means that they must have been in the material world at some time and gone back to the spiritual world. On the other hand, even this example that's used, Jaya and Vijaya, Prabhupada saying they never really fell down. Because if you come to fulfill Krishna's purpose, it's not a fall down. Therefore, technically speaking, although they were in the material world, they were actually part of Krishna's Leela. So it doesn't count as a fall down. But what does it mean to us? It means that really nothing to us. Because whether we came from Vaikuntha originally or Goloka Vrindavan, we fell down. As Prabhupada said, right now, we hear. If you're in the ocean and you're drowning, then the first question you ask is not how I got here. The first question is, how do I get out of here? Now, if someone comes with a boat and offers to pick you up, you say, wait a second, I want to figure out how I got here before you pick me up into the boat. Can you answer these 50 questions I have? And then if you answer them, then you can pick me up. But sir, you're about to drown in the ocean. Well, it's all right. I'm very curious. I can. Unless my curiosity is solved, is satisfied, then I refuse to get into the boat. So this is called foolishness. So however we got here, whether we came from Goloka Vrindavan, or we came from Vaikuntha, or we came from Brahman, or we came from New York, it doesn't really matter. Because right now we're here, and the whole idea is to go back, or at least become Krishna conscious, so that we're no longer have material consciousness. Now for us, eternity is inconceivable. Although we exist in eternity, we can't conceive of it. How can anything eternally be an illusion? Or how can anyone eternally not be in the spiritual world? So in one sense, no one could leave the spiritual world. Just like if you're in prison, it doesn't mean you're not part of the state. It means that you're in one part of the state, which is rather unpleasant. But there are other parts of the state, the educational part of the state, which may be more pleasant. So the soul cannot exist without Krishna, because we can't do anything without Krishna. So therefore, eternally, we must be with Krishna. Otherwise, we can't exist without Krishna. Just like the sunlight can't exist without the sun. So eternally we're with Krishna, how much we're conscious of Krishna, that depends upon our desire. And presently our desire is to be unconscious of Krishna to some extent. Because we're desiring things that bring us into unconsciousness of Krishna. We may not be consciously unconscious of Krishna, but ultimately, that's what it all boils down to. If you want to imitate a famous personality, then if you want to play that part, then you actually believe that you've become that famous personality. Matter of fact, if you become an expert actor, they give you so much acclaim, especially in this material world, they give you so much wealth and assets, if you're a good actor. Now, if you're the real thing, people don't really care about you so much. If you're a dog and you're barking, people will get disturbed, throw a rock at you. But if you're a man, and you can bark exactly like a dog, then people are very much appreciative, and they'll pay money to hear you bark like a dog. So imitation in the material world is quite valuable. Matter of fact, everyone in the material world is imitating. Now we may think, well, I'm not really trying to imitate Krishna. But yes, Purusha Prakriti Sohi Bhunkte Prakriti Jangunan Karna Guna Sangosya Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu. Everyone is trying to become the Purusha in their own way. Just the fact that we identify ourselves with this body, think that we're Purushas. And everything else we look at, we think is Prakriti. So for a man, a woman is Prakriti, and for a woman, man is Prakriti. That is enjoyable. So everyone is trying to look for something that's enjoyable in the material world, which means what we're trying to imitate Krishna, we're trying to become the enjoyers. Now we have a tendency to enjoy because Krishna has a tendency to enjoy. But we can enjoy in the same way that Krishna enjoys. We can enjoy in the same way that Krishna enjoys, but Krishna is the source of enjoyment. Prabhupada gives the example that the stomach has to enjoy in order for the different parts of the body to enjoy. So unless we become aware of Krishna's happiness, then we can't be happy. But when we forget about Krishna and we try to become aware of the bodily and mental happiness, our ego's happiness, then the result is we can't actually be happy because there's no substantial, everlasting, permanent, intense happiness in either the body's happiness or our mental happiness, which is another kind of happiness, or the intellectual happiness or the false ego's happiness. False ego's happiness is usually the most difficult to get rid of because even when we're suffering in the material world, we take some kind of pleasure from it. We actually think ourselves to be some hero or heroine in some kind of drama that's going on, and so we have the karunya rasa or the ghastly rasa or the abhuta rasa. We have some rasa we're going through and we're trying to enjoy it. Trying to get sympathy from others, recognition from others, attention from others. Matter of fact, sometimes people get sick just so they can get attention from others. So that's all false ego. We're even willing to sacrifice our body if our false ego can be satisfied. So everyone is trying to work in illusion, which ultimately is under the control of the false ego. Because if we don't have a false ego, if we don't have a false ego, then we're in Brahman. And if we have a real ego, dasa, dasa, anudasa, then we're in Krishna consciousness. The aim of human life is to become aware of our actual identity as a servant of the servant of Krishna, rather than simply take on different roles of trying to become the Purusha here. Now most of us, we think we're a nice person, we wouldn't do anything like that. We wouldn't try to imitate God. Or if we did, it was a mistake we did long ago. But it's the same mistake we still have now. It's not that we gave up that mistake. It's just that we realize it's not the best path. And therefore we're trying to rectify ourselves by the practice of devotional service. And when one is actually aware of one's eternal identity, then one's real life begins at that point. Of course, our real life has begun because we're engaging in Krishna service and there can be nothing more auspicious than that. As I was reading the other day, that if you take up Krishna consciousness, you get certain benefits that no one else can get. One is that you get a purpose of life. You get God's purpose of life, namely His mission in life. And if you take up Krishna consciousness, then you get the association of Krishna's devotees who have the same mission in life. And if you take up Krishna's principles, then you actually come to a more mature state of consciousness. And if you take up the profession or the service that Krishna wants you to do, then you actually have some ministry, you have something to do in life that's valuable, that's progressive. And if you rely upon Krishna, if you take shelter of Krishna, then you get Krishna, you become empowered by Krishna. So no one else has that opportunity. People are not empowered by Krishna. People don't know what they're supposed to do for God. They don't really know how they fit into everything. Nor do they have any principles that actually have any absolute value to them. Nor do they have any proper association to help them on a path to perfection. And nor do they have any purpose of life other than some temporary and significant purpose which will not do them any good in the long run and may even impede them and put them into an unwanted situation in the future. So only the devotees can actually get such a opportunity, and by utilizing such an opportunity, one can gradually learn how to properly utilize one's free will, especially by dovetailing our free will with those principles. And if we don't do that, then we'll have to dovetail our free will with our false ego and wind up in one of the 8,400,000 species of life. Maybe today we're in the temple taking prasadam, and tomorrow we'll be crawling on the ground looking for a piece of mahab, especially sugar that's left over with all our other friends. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
So I was wondering, since Shishupal and Dantavakra have this divine origin, what about other Vrindavan demons? Is there any description about their...
Yeah, there's some description. In the third canto, it describes that they were formerly demons, powerful yogis usually, on different, on a higher planetary system. Most of them were cursed by sages to become demons, and they lived out their lives as powerful demons in different planets in the universe. And then Kamsa came and conquered the universe, most of it, except for Brahmaloka and Shivaloka. And he conquered those demons too. And so they became his allies. Now, as far as their divine origin, only Dantavakra and Shishupal, Aranyakashipu and Aranyaksha, and Ravana and Kumbhakarna, that are, as far as I know, there are some others that are mentioned as divine, such as Dvavita. He has his counterpart in Vaikuntha as a servant of Lord Ramachandra. Other than that, most of the demons are actually demons, or at least they were demigods cursed or sages cursed to become demons. Bali Maharaj's sister, Putana, or sometimes it's said in another, maybe in another age, was his daughter. Putana was a demon, but she was a sister of Bali Maharaj. But when Vamanadeva entered into the arena to try and beg some charity from, when Vamanadeva entered into the arena to try and beg some charity from Vamanadeva, then as soon as Bali Maharaj's sister saw this beautiful Brahmin boy, she fell in love with him and wanted to become his mother. But when Vamanadeva took away everything from Bali Maharaj, she became very angry and wanted to kill him. So Krishna fulfilled her desire. She took birth as Putana, and she got the opportunity to be Krishna's mother and try and kill him at the same time. So Krishna is Daksha. He can arrange so many things at the same time. And to become a demon in Krishna's pastime requires a lot of effort. Not an ordinary person can become a demon in Krishna's pastime. And what to speak of the demons, like Agasura, Krishna personally entered into his mouth. That's quite a feat. The only way Krishna is going to enter into our mouth is through prasadam. Anything else? Yes.
You were speaking about imitation. Imitating the Lord, and I was just wondering, what can we do when we catch ourselves? Like, oh, I'm trying to enjoy, I'm trying to control. What can we do in our...
Well, we don't have to catch ourselves. We're doing it all the time. It's not something we do once in a while. It's something we're doing every moment. So we should catch ourselves trying to become Krishna conscious. We should catch ourselves thinking that everything here belongs to Krishna, and catch ourselves trying to find out what Krishna wants us to do with his energy, and then catch ourselves trying to do something to please him. We should catch ourselves doing that. Other than that, we're already caught. Maya has caught us. We don't. And she's caught us for a long time now. And she's holding on. And we're holding on to her too. So we have to let go of her and catch ourselves doing something else. Yes.
Hare Krishna. It seems that many of these demons routinely practiced shape-shifting.
What kind of lifting?
Shape-shifting.
Shifting, yes, yeah, shape. People do that nowadays also. they go on diets. They go on diets and then they start eating a lot again, so they're always changing their shape. The demons are just more expert, that's all. Is that the question? No.
Why would they take so many different funny forms, or was it that their original form was that these other creatures and human form or human-like form was their disguise?
No, their original forms. I mean, what is our? We don't have it. Our original form is our spiritual body. As far as what the demons are, you know, generally the human-like form is probably the normal form, and they take other forms in order to fulfill certain purposes. Human form of life is usually the most versatile, so usually people are satisfied being a human being. Generally, when you go and visit your girlfriend, you don't come in the form of a snake or a horse or a bull. You'd probably rather visit your girlfriend in human-like form, especially if she's a human. Because if she's a snake, then she'd go in the form of a snake. Because in the Naga Loka, then they're usually, some of them are snakes. But anyhow, generally it's the human form of life, which is human form, which is most adequate for most activities. Besides that, we come to the material world to imitate Krishna, and Krishna takes different forms, but his topmost form is that of a human being. So therefore, we're more inclined to imitate that than to become a tortoise. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.